welcome to the Reach the Stars podcast. I am your host, Jonna Willoughby-Lohr, and today my guest is Mike Farrow, also known as Mike Solo Farrow, and part of the band Farrow, and many other things. He is a singer-songwriter, performer, guitar player, dope-ass individual in many ways. I don't normally read people's whole bio, but I'm going to read this because this shit is poetry. Okay, ready? Michael Solo Farrow is a singer-songwriter, street performer, and reluctant poet residing in Buffalo, New York. Hobbies include telling people on Facebook to use Google before posting and relishing in black joy. I love it. I love it. I love
Thank
it.
You.
I love it. So great. So super excited to have you here today. One of my favorite performers to watch.
Thank you so much. So much.
After the first time I saw you sing, I was like, damn. Hey, so everybody on the show is in for a little treat because he's gonna sing some songs for us today. Before we get into all that, I was wondering if you would tell everyone a little bit more about you and where you come from.
So I grew up all over the Northeast. My father was slightly nomadic, so I have been all over the place, but I went to high school in Clarence, so Western New York, and then went to college in a Southern Tier. So I've been in this area for a little while, and then I went to North Carolina to be near my extended family. So I've been all over the place, but I basically came from a lot of church backgrounds, but then stopped doing that stuff. And then being an educator. So I was a music teacher for a while, which was a lot of fun. And a bio teacher. I've been all over the place. basically as an artist, my journey has been about just telling stories and expressing myself and like trying to tell stories that matter to me. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they matter to somebody else is pretty much my goal, and being as honest as I can, which is really hard. being honest about stuff that you don't really want to be honest about is always a tough thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, once everybody gets to hear you sing, they'll get it. But, there's some performers out there that you hear them play songs, and even if it's a cover song, you're like, nah, you could tell they practiced it a lot, but they're not connecting their soul to the song and they're just kind of doing it. And then there's other performers that come out, and even if it's just them saying like, hey, this is my name, and you get goosebumps, you're like, damn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, real, you know, and like every time I see you perform, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Like, I just dig it.
I work, that's primarily where I like try to work. I try to work in this place where it's like carving out a minute to just have an experience. Mm-hmm. So sometimes like it's to entertain and everyone to have a good time, but sometimes it's also just to like take a moment to pause and just breathe, hear a story, or cry up a little bit, or like whatever you need to. Like I say, if you didn't walk away feeling something at a performance, I ain't do my job. You gotta feel something.
Exactly. I mean, I think as a performer myself, my all-time, like, the highest compliment I can ever get is when somebody in the audience is fucking crying at the end of the song, you know, like, oh wow, you know, like that's so special. Or when somebody comes up and is just like, I'm so feeling that, like, really hard. Like, it's just, there's nothing else.
It's nothing like it. And I mean, one of the things I loved about being a teacher was helping other people get to experience that. Like right now I'm doing 30 days of writing a song every day, which is brutal and horrible and I hate it, but I'm just going to keep going. But it's so funny to watch other people join me in like doing this challenge. And then suddenly they're writing and saying stuff. Like I've heard people reveal like really hard parts of the stuff, but you don't have a time to like hold back because you're writing so fast. You don't have a time to like, it's whatever's on your heart comes out. And so like I've just gotten the experience of like all these people just expressing new things that they never thought they would. And it's, oh my goodness, it's one of the best thing is like experiencing the, yeah, I made them cry, but also being like, you made me cry.
Aw, I love it. I wish, it makes me wish that I was like better at guitar, because I don't play that often. And I played a lot when I was like 18, 19. And I was decent then, but mostly I just make it on my own songs. I could never really cover anybody else's songs. And it just makes me wish that I was better at it. Cause I was like, man, I want to write a new song. And I'm like, nope, that's the same riff I already had for my other five songs.
Well, the trick is, for me, like the first day of this, I did, YouTube instrumentals, just YouTube an instrumental in any genre you feel like, and there's an instrumental on YouTube that you can totally just write to your heart's content and like get in the mood of, and like it sounds good, and you just get to do the work of like actually expressing like real feelings and
lyrical art. Part and not writing all the music every day.
Yeah, I mean, I did it for the first time for the first day of the challenge, and I mean, it was a lot of fun. I'm like, I'm never going to perform it anywhere, but it was good fun, and it got me expressing something I normally don't get to express. So I just use YouTube. I'm telling you, there's
I do that sometimes instrumental. When I'm writing rhymes and stuff like that, that's like meant to be turned into a hip hop song. Like I'll just like grab an instrumental to kind of keep that like da 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 beat.
Yeah, I'll keep it going.
But I don't know, if I'm doing like a song from my heart, it's hard to do that if it's not me and my instrument at the same time. You know, like it's,
I feel that
music and the words kind of evolve together usually for me. But this has been, I haven't written a guitar song in a really long time. I need to, I don't know, set aside more time for it. I did start keeping my guitar in my office so that I play it more often, because it's excellent. Like right over there. You can't see it because it's behind the curtain of death. I'm wondering if you can tell people a little bit more about your current foray into playing music. I mean, obviously during the pandemic, everything is on freaking pause. But before the pandemic, were you a full-time musician?
Yeah, so I left from being a teacher and came back to Western New York, and I'm started doing music. I was teaching it, so I'm like, I can do this. I wasn't teaching it because I couldn't do it. It was just, I love teaching. And so I got up here and I started performing more and working out more of my songs. And then the bass player for my band, Pharaoh, said something in a group on Facebook and said, come to a rehearsal space. And I we just started writing songs together, and it was just very easy. It was super easy. And then my friend Jessie's Jessie Skywalker came by. She lived nearby, and she walked up by my porch, and I was playing guitar, and she's like, hey, I have a song. I don't know how, if you could play along with me, how it goes. She sang this song, and it was like, blew my face off. I'm like, girl, what you doing? Like, I didn't even know you had that. And so then I literally walked on the porch, took us 10 minutes, and we've written our first song together. So I have the Lightwalker project, all the things that just come very naturally. And right now I've been just focusing on how do you say happy things when everything feels like it's going wrong. Yeah. At the beginning of the pandemic, I heard a lot of eco-fascist talk. So it was a lot of this humans are the virus, we're a plague on the planet, we're destroying it, we need to kill off all the humans. And I'm like, yikes. Yeah. And so I wrote a song saying we needed to rise up against this kind of awful kind of talk. Mm-hmm. And then the uprisings happened over the summer. So I written a song before they happened that were about what was happening. I'm like, I need to be really much more careful about what I write in songs. But I try to express and really talk about being ordinary and Black is not allowed, apparently. There's this exceptionalism that is expected. There's this place where it's you're supposed to be the best at to be noticed. And I'm like, I'm just trying to be average and tell average folk stories and play them averagely. And I try to sing my butt off, but I miss notes all the time. But I'm just trying to be okay. And I think the journey of trying to be okay is what resonates with people. Because, I don't know about you, but COVID had me just trying to be okay.
Yeah, seriously. I wrote this poem a couple months ago that has a line in it, says that pretending is the currency we learn to exchange. And that, like, during COVID, it's a lot of like, how are you doing? I'm okay. But you're just not. And it's just like your response and you know that the other person is also be like, I'm okay, but they're not either. But you're like, in some ways it seems like it's been easier to tell people that you're not okay, but the people you're telling it to have less emotional space to like help you not be okay. So you're like, well, we could both not be okay, but we can't help each other at all. So fuck.
I have to give out a huge like shout out to the community of musicians. Like music is art, the Music Industry Alliance. They have monthly songwriting sessions, and they also had, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, weekly open mics. Devin Mullen was really great about doing that, but he set these up. And so literally every week I still had an open mic to go to. I still had a songwriting group to go to. Honestly, by the time I actually saw them again in the summer, it felt like we'd been together for months and months. Like having a solid community of artists around you makes such a difference when like feeling isolated, feeling like the world's going crazy, like having people that are still creating and making and building and shaping things shows that it's not over. We're still out here.
So. Yeah. I mean, being on a stage in front of a whole bunch of people, just that energy exchange for me, like I need that or I'm a total asshole in my regular life. Like if I don't have that, like I get to give you all the stuff that I got in here and then I get to take all your stuff back. And like, it just rejuvenates my soul. And when I can't perform, I get fucking squirrely. Like I just, but I can't help it. And so I actually was part of, there was this amazing poetry festival all online over the summer, put on by Buddy Wakefield's organization called Awful Good Writers.
Okay.
It was so cool because it was all these like amazing, you know, world famous, world class poets who would do these kind of, you know, 40 minute set and then a little workshop and a Q&A all through Zoom. And it was all these people that I had wanted to see my whole life, but I couldn't end up like affording the tickets or traveling around the country to see all of them. And I was like, I could see all of these people from my office. And then there was this whole community of people in the chat room in the Zoom. So I actually have like a whole new group of poet friends from all over the world. And now we've started doing our own open mics together. So it's cool.
Like, I mean, those experiences are literally what kept me in any version of sane. So
yeah. And it's interesting because like, obviously, you know, communicating via Zoom is not the same as communicating face to face, for sure. But communicating via Zoom is so much cooler than communicating via text message.
It is.
It's such a different type of conversation when you're actually, you know, having that give and take with someone and you can see their face and see their expressions and all those kind of things. It's so, it's refreshing. And I think that there are way fewer people who will sit on a Zoom call and dick around on their phone than they would if they were actually sitting with people and they would be dicking around on their phone while you're like around on the couch with people. So I like that it's kind of opened up that aspect to people. And yes, I think the pandemic has also made people realize how important and how special it is to be able to sit and talk to people face to face when you can't do that anymore. Yeah, it's been a struggle. I remember the first, you know, within the first weeks of the pandemic, thinking like, is this going to be the thing? Like in 5 years, are we going to look back and be like, oh, remember 2020? That fucking sucked. Or is it, going to be like our whole life is masks for now, forever? Like, is that just like our world now? And I'm still not entirely sure where we're at, but I know I got to go with the mask, so at least there's that, you know?
I said I'm not really good at prognosticating that, but all I know is it's different. The whole situation, it's all very, very different.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever going to go back to what it was, and I don't think it should. I don't think it should at all. There's certainly a lot of ways that the world has opened up and is different in ways. And I hope that it gets to be the kind of thing that brings people together after all of this, instead of the type of thing that divides people even further, because we can't get anywhere if we get even more divided than we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be rough.
I know, seriously. So I want to know if you will talk a little bit about your new project that you just came out with.
Yeah. My newest project is Keep Your Cake, Eat the Rich. And it was out of a conversation. I've been saying eat the rich for a while, because really our finance and the economy in our country is, there's never been a need for a trillionaire. And there's barely a need for a billionaire. So there's been a lot of wage theft and a lot of, which Cuomo vetoed, but we don't need to go into that. But there's a lot of the sweat act that he vetoed. That was rough. Because wage theft and the worker, a lot of times we're struggling. We out here just trying to live and eat. And the wealthy are really making a lot of money doing a whole lot of nothing. And so I was like, I needed a continuing thread to combine all of these songs that I've written that have been mad at folks that are just oppressing folk. And so when I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? You keep your cake and eat it too. Oh, wait, and eat the rich. Oh, keep your cake and eat the rich. That's literally it, just squished together. And so the project is 10 songs, just talking about various things that have been going on in my life, but specifically about how the oppressed are really, we all in this together. We're trying to eat. We're just trying to drink. We're just trying to live. And the more that we realize we're united as one people who are being oppressed, the more we can do about it. So that's basically it.
Awesome.
And my buddy Bianca's on the cover. She looking nice. She has a knife and some cake. It's beautiful. So
hoping to have her on the show in the future.
Yay.
So I'm curious, what's your favorite thing about being a performer?
I think my favorite thing is probably the actual creating of, like, I love performing to an extent. I like people to hear the work, but I enjoy the actual work itself, like the sitting down and like editing the stanzas and making sure the notes are in the right place and that I like the actual work of it. Which is why I'm like, the performance is just like the icing on the cake for me. Like I enjoy really trying to work and craft and then see when people respond to it and see if they don't respond and fix it. The whole point is to like have a conversation for me. Mm-hmm. So for me, like standing on a stage, I'm having a conversation with you. I know you can't talk back, but I'm talking to you and you people gesture, laugh, some cry. I like having that conversation, that moment where it's like, you can hear the feelings that I'm having. Mm-hmm. And you can respond to those feelings as well. And you feel open. And especially if I speak on something that's similar to someone else, feeling seen and feeling validated. I like having that moment of we in this together.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I totally feel that when you look out at the audience and you can see people like they're like hanging on every word and they're really like following wherever you go. And they're really with you on that. It's such a special interaction to have with people, to be connected like that, even though you can even do it via Zoom, which is really cool to be able to see people do that. So one of the questions that spurred me to want to do this podcast in the first place, there's this actor on who has a pretty amazing Instagram named Nico Tortorella. And throughout the shutdown, they had a little kind of talk show thing that they were doing from their bed and just invited random followers to come on their show and would just interview them about their life and their experience during quarantine. And so not that this famous person was interviewing other famous people, just like random people. And it was really cool to watch. They did it every single day, like Monday to Friday for an hour, and just interviewed a couple people every day. And it definitely helped my extroverted self get through the shutdown to be able to get to know like these random new people and hear their stories a couple times a day. And I was like, you know, if this person who has this like is famous person has like 600,000 Instagram followers is like, fuck it, I'm going to do a show in my underpants from my bed. And my intro is like me filming my laptop with my cell phone while I click through PowerPoint. I was like, if they could do a show like this and people watch it, I'm like, I could do a show. I'm going to do it. And one of the questions that they asked somebody one day was, what's the top of the mountain for you? And I just love that question. I just love it. And so I want to know, what's the top of the mountain for you?
The top of the mountain for me is honestly just being around a group of people experiencing joy. And so that can be like kids experiencing joy, like being around with friends, drinking and laughing, playing a song. It could be as simple as playing a board game with my mom and sisters. Like that's the top of the mountain kind of stuff for me. Like the best, like you go to bed feeling like, yeah, I had a good day. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily need to be like amazing and spectacular. Just the ordinary joys. Especially in the light of so many ways and things that are trying to steal joy. Lord, they always trying to steal my joy. And just having that ability to say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be joyful through hard times and engage in something small and beautiful.
Exactly. Like, you know, you have to grow flowers when it's raining or you'll just live in the fucking mud, you know? Like, I have a huge tattoo on my back that's it's all about that. It's about like when it's raining, you know, it looks like a big tree. You can't see it right now, but it looks like a big tree and the top part of the branches looks like a hand like this. And the bottom part of the branches looks like a hand that's like the roots are going down into the ground. And the whole symbolism is like when it's raining, you have to like catch the raindrops, but you also have to like give seeds out the bottom.
Yeah.
You know,
I love it. It's no matter how dark it is, no matter how many clouds there are, it's like you're still alive to experience it. And there's always a place to find joy. And especially in times when it's hard, I think that's when I cling to it more. And it was really hard, especially in the corona, like the very beginning. Like I was having a hard time figuring out, like, okay, I was playing gigs. Farrah was supposed to play Taste of Buffalo. Like it was like we were supposed to have some good shows, a Bidwell concert. Like it was it was supposed to happen this summer. And it's like, oh shoot, no. But then we had all these other great moments that if I like dwelled on the off part, I wouldn't be at the mountaintop. And the mountaintop is realizing that there's a mountain every day and you can always go up to that mountain mm-hmm. and experience joy. And you can't live there, unfortunately, but you can always go visit.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so on that note, I would love if you would play us a couple songs.
All right.
Before we get to the end of the show part where I ask everybody 5 questions.
All righty. Let me turn off the auto adjust volume because it doesn't know how to handle dynamics when I do that. At least I know that much. All right.
I have all sorts of audio equipment. I'm like, I don't really know how to use any of this.
Well, I know, like, I don't know what was with it today because I could plug in and it would sound really pretty, but we're going to do rough sounds today. So, so I just put new strings on this, so they're not ready for performing, but we're going to do it anyway. This song is called Who Speak For You. I wrote it after seeing the man and his child drown in the Rio Grande. I sobbed for an entire bus ride from New York City to Buffalo. I feel really bad for the man that sat next to me. But I just sobbed on this mega bus. And I wrote this like full out, every verse, every stanza just came very quickly. So this is Who Will Speak For You. Who speaks for you when you cannot find the words? Who tells the truth even though you know it hurts? Who leaves on the light and sleeps on the floor and hopes that you walk through the door? I want to know who speaks for you. There's someone somewhere softly singing, what am I supposed to do now? There's someone wishing you were coming home. There's someone somewhere softly singing, what am I supposed to do now that you're gone? Who speaks for him? Who cares about the way he died? Who holds the sin of why his baby ain't survived? Who gives a damn if he's in your clan? His baby drowned in his own hand. I wanna know who speaks for him, who speaks for me, and the ones who I look like. Who's called to be the healing hand of salt and light? Who sees a broken man begging in the street? Will give them something to eat. I want to know who'll speak for me. There's someone somewhere softly singing, what am I supposed to do now? There's someone wishing you were coming home. There's someone somewhere softly singing, what am I supposed to do now that you're gone? Who'll speak for us when we cannot see the light? Who calls to us when we don't know wrong from right? Who'll take the time to help the fellow man? Who'll keep the walls from caving in? I wanna know who'll speak for him. There's someone somewhere softly singing, what am I supposed to do now? There's someone wishing you were coming through. There's someone somewhere softly singing, what am I supposed to do now that you're gone? There's someone somewhere softly singing, what am I supposed to do now? There's someone somewhere wishing you were home. There's someone somewhere softly singing, what am I supposed to do now that you're gone? So I'll speak for him now that he can't, and I'll speak for me now that I can, and I'll speak for them only if you can, and I'll speak for them. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, so good. Oh, it's so good. I got goosebumps. Love it. Thank you for sharing that.
No problem.
I swear, every single day I think like, how is so and so famous, and you're just like, nah, how is that happening? Like, you should be so freaking famous. You just got serious skills. I love it.
Thank you. I always say I took lots and lots of detours, and I took detours in places that if I hadn't gone, I wouldn't be able to write the songs that I'm writing now. So like, I like where I am right now because my experiences got me there. So even if the experience was not necessarily the best, I'm glad that I had them because I love me and I love what I'm doing right now, which is not something I would have said 3 years ago. So,
well, I hope in the future that people pay you lots and lots of money to keep playing music all day because you're excellent.
Okay. Well, this is the problem of not tuning your guitar beforehand.
Oh, you got new strings, you know? So you play it once, they stretch out. You play it once, they stretch out.
Yeah, and I didn't stretch them yet, so all right. This one's Keep Your Cake, Eat the Rich, and then the other one requires a little bit less on the guitar anyway.
Entire life forever and ever. Okay, so at the end of all of my shows, I ask every single guest the same 5 questions because I think it's really interesting to see how different people answer the same questions. Okey-doke. So it's kind of like a little job interview. The first one is, Tell me about an experience or a single moment that changed who you are today.
Single moment that changed who I am today was definitely the first time I sang harmony. I accidentally sang the harmony when I was, I was like 4 or 5. And I just started singing harmonies around with anything and everything. And I remember one day I was like on the steps and this piano teacher was like, you can harmonize and you're 5. And she's like, you have to come to class. And so I started taking piano lessons at 5 because that one day when I just harmonized with everything. I didn't think about it. Just, I could hear it. So yeah.
Oh, that makes my soul heart happy because my oldest son is super musical like that. I mean, he was like playing drums on the floor before he could sit up, taking his feet to music as like a tiny, tiny infant. And like his musical ear is just crazy. Like he can hear so many, like almost any song from the 90s comes on the radio. He knows what the song is. He knows who the band is. He's like 5. It's so awesome. And just that he can, while one song is playing, he could sing a totally other song just out of his head. And it like doesn't derail him at all. He's just like,
oh yeah, he's got the permanence. He can hear it. Oh, yeah, that's so good.
I'm hopeful that once the world opens up, we'll have to have like a Mike Farrell and kids jam session.
Oh, that'd be fun. I love playing music with kids playing percussion. The best.
Yeah. I'm all excited about playing bass and playing guitar now too. Which is so freaking cute. He's a dope awesome drummer, but he's just like, oh, but I want to play guitar. I want to do this. I'm like, okay, play whatever you want, kid. Okay. So number 2, yeah. When you feel defeated or overcome, what do you tell yourself to keep going?
That first thing I tell myself is it's okay to feel this way and just feel this way for a minute. For too long, I would be like, like I would do this whole entire like mental like thing to try to get my, now I just say like, you got defeated, you mad, be mad. And I give myself permission now to be upset and defeated. For way too long, I would never give myself permission to feel like, I tried and I failed. And so I would keep trying without like just allowing myself to feel that hurt. And now I just allow myself to be mad.
That's good. I think I need to do that more often. Okay. Number 3. Tell me about a way that you overcame a failure or a mistake and what you learned from it.
Ooh, let's see. Well, because I was an educator, pretty much every day was a failure and a mistake. That's what teaching is literally failing in front of kids and then like fixing it. And then like, and so I think, like, yeah, that would be like, that is immediately what goes to my mind. Like, cause every day you would have like this amazing idea for a lesson that you're like, this is totally going to work. This is totally going to grab them. And then it doesn't. And so then, and you're like it, yeah, it was a lot of working. It's a lot of stopping and like being reflective enough to realize like, this is not the end. You can try again. And I think that's where I'm at. It's like realizing that no matter what experience it is that I've failed at or didn't get in there, I can try again. It's not the end.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's funny because like that whole like failing in front of children, that's also what parenting is. Every day you're like, I'm going to do so great at this. And then you like yell at them for something stupid. And you're like, why did I yell at you? I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm sorry. I'm a jerk. Okay. Number 4. What one trait or habit is most responsible for keeping you on track?
That's easy. It's writing every day. I write every single day. Like I don't try to write a whole song like I'm doing with this current project, like this, like October writing thing, but I usually write something every day. Whether it be like half of a song, whether it be some lyrics, whether it be a lick or something that I enjoy, but I write something every single day. that I don't get to criticize. Like, so I write it and it's there. And some of those things like end up coming back and being really big songs. Like people have been like respond to a song and I'm like, I wrote that 4 years ago and thought it was crud. So like it's writing every day for me is yeah, I have to.
I have a follow-up question. So when you're writing stuff, are you like the super organized writer that keeps all the song lyrics in the song lyric book and the poems in the poem book or whatever? Or do you like have like a random collection of like the back of a pizza box and a bunch of napkins and shit?
I'm the pizza box and napkins kind of person. So if you go to like my desk right now, there's like a pile of papers and I haven't quite figured out the habit of like where I go back systematically and like get all of the good ideas that were there before. They usually just fall in my lap like I'm picking them up and I'm like, ooh, that was a good one. I should probably work on that one again. I probably would have like even more work if I actually was systemic about it, but it's just like, the point isn't necessarily that I'm going to use any of that art and stuff that I'm making. The point is that it's out of me. Mm-hmm. And like, instead of just sitting in there and spiraling over and over again, for a long time, I wasn't writing a lot but I was trying real hard. Mm-hmm. I was trying really hard to write, but I wasn't actually doing it. So I think that, yeah, writing every day has been it's a huge one.
Awesome. I think I need to do more writing every day. I had a teacher in college because when I was in high school, I used to write like dozens of poems every single day. I mean, I would go through like one of those like big fat five subject spiral bound notebooks like every couple weeks, just like, you know, because that was poetry was my one creative outlet when I was in high school. I didn't do music and visual art and all this other stuff. And I had a teacher in college because I would turn in these poems and it would be like this stack of poems. There's like eight. They're all about the same thing. And he would be like, okay, so all of these poems are all about the same. Like you're trying to write about the same topic, the same thing that's bothering you, the same thing you're thinking about. He's like, I want to give you an assignment to not write right away and to let those poems kind of like knock around in your head until all eight of these poems that are kind of meh, they're all like trying to grab it. Let it kind of simmer and marinate in your head for a couple more days until all eight of these poems converge to be like one really good poem that really says what you're trying to say. And at the time I was like, all right, I'm going to try and do that. And it was actually for me really super helpful because now I like think of the idea and let it kind of knock around. But I've started, you know, after my like many, many years of being a total stoner, I have gotten better at, if I get an idea, I will write just that idea on a list in a notebook so that like, I can't let it knock around too long because I'll forget I was going to write about it in the first place. But it's helpful for me that I can write like one really good poem instead of like eight kind of meh. But
well, usually I do when I say I write, it's like a verse or maybe a verse and a chorus. Or like a chord progression. Like I don't go much further than that. Like if you go to the voice memos on my phone, oh my Lord, there's so many little musical, like little notes and ideas. And if I'm stuck, I will fall through them and like flick through and see like, oh, hey, this is something. But right now, like is a little bit different, but normally it's just a little like you're the idea. Yeah. So it's just the idea. Yeah.
It was hard as hell for me to stop like just out of my face every single day. And I think my happy medium is kind of somewhere in between that, you know, like making an effort to at least document the ideas every day. And then let them kind of congeal into something awesome. Cause when I sit down to write a poem, typically if I'm going to write it, like the whole thing is coming out like all at once. I might edit it a little bit later, but it's usually like way more than is necessary. And I like pull some of it out. So yeah. I think it's good to kind of let
always overwrite
around a little bit. Okay. So the last question is, what's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten? And what advice would you give to other people?
the best piece of advice I ever got was finish a song. Like for the longest time I had, I had zygotes and half babies of songs. Like they were just not, and I would then think they're awful because they weren't finished and then leave them. And then I go back and I'm like, no, they were good. I just couldn't finish the song. Even if it's finished wrong, you can always go back and change it, mm-hmm. but finish the song. And the best advice I would give is perform your work or let someone else see your work. Like before it's a point where it's like a lot of people seeing your work. So that means like for musicians, it's going to an open mic, going to a songwriting circle, going someplace where you can see how people respond to it before you get to the show and you're expecting them to, you don't know. Like that was that's what I would give, like perform it for somebody. I have a lot of friends that are beat makers and songwriters that like in their bedrooms. That's cool. Put it somewhere for people to actually engage with it. Like give people a chance to hate it. So then you can make some more. It's not the end of your life.
Oh, I love this conversation.
Yay.
Okay. So that is the last question. And I'm wondering if you can tell everybody where they can find you on the interwebs.
I am on, you can find me on Facebook as Michael Solofair you can follow my artist page at MYQ F. That's all caps MYQ Mike. Then an F for Pharaoh. You can also follow my band page on Facebook, which is Pharaoh FARROW, or you can follow my Instagram, which is FKA then unicorn with no O. So fuck a unicorn. FKA UNICRN. Fuck a unicorn. That's me on Instagram.
I love it. And where can people get your album?
My album, if you search for MYQ Pharaoh, you can find it on all streaming services. It's also on Amazon. And if you go to any of those pages, there's a link at some point or someplace.
Cool.
And if you'd like to follow my band, it is also pharaohband.com. So we have a www.pharaohband.com.
Awesome. And I will put all those links in the show notes. So thank you so much, Mike, for being on my show and playing music for us. And
yeah, thank you for having me.
Oh, I just love it. Made my whole day.
All right. Have a good one.
Have a lovely day, everybody. Bye.
A single interaction has the power to change your life forever. This is a place for the stories of those moments. Stories of pursuing dreams, overcoming tragedy and failure. Coming back to life after so much of what feels like dying, of continuing on with only a vision as a map. This is the place where those moments live on. Come sit by the fire, look up at the stars, and be forever changed too.
Thank you for being with us on the Reach the Stars podcast. Our theme music is generously provided by Byrocratic. You can find him on bandcamp.com. Thank you to all of our current patrons, guests, and everyone else who helps make this dream a reality. We are so proud to be building this amazing community with all of you. If you love this podcast, please consider sharing with a friend, leaving a review on iTunes, and becoming a patron at www.patreon.com/reachthestars. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel to see the videos of these conversations. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, do something cool and tell us about it.